This is Startups for the Rest of Us, episode 39.
Welcome to Startups for the Rest of Us, the podcast that helps developers be awesome at launching software products, whether you built your first product or you're just thinking about it. I'm Rob.
And I'm so embarrassed to be on this podcast.
And we're here to share our experiences to help you avoid the same mistakes we've made. You love it. You love the robot intro, admit it.
We're totally scraping the bottle of the stuff, aren't we?
So we were supposed to record a couple days ago, and you canceled on me. What was your lame, made-up excuse?
Yes, I was outside shoveling snow off of my roof.
Why would you be doing that?
Because it was 3 feet deep on my roof, and we were expected to get another storm.
That's crazy. What else is going on?
Before, we've been talking a little bit about my Audit Shark product and how I was planning on launching that. What was it? We said 8 to 12 weeks, something like that.
Yeah, for an alpha, yeah.
Yeah, so what I decided was that I actually have to buckle down and put a hard date on it. And whether that date is realistic at this point or not still kind of remains to be seen. But I'm targeting June 27th. It's the week before the 4th of July. The 4th falls on a Monday, so that'll be a short week the following week. But it gives me a full week to get the product hopefully out the door. And then the following week with the long weekend, I should be able to work on bugs or address any issues that come up. I'm hoping for that date mainly because it gives me a date to shoot for. And it's a little ways after I had vacation trips scheduled earlier in June. So I'm hoping to have everything cleared out of my inbox and all the stuff done that needs to be done earlier in June. So that way I can take a vacation and then I come back from the vacation and then deal with the product launch. Because you know, product launches are a lot of work.
Right. Well, yeah. Cool. I like that. I think it's good you're setting a date, because otherwise I think 8 to 10 weeks would just keep going on forever, you know?
And that's why I'm setting the date. I'd really like to just draw a line in the sand and put that date on it. And if I have to cut features, I'll cut features. But, you know, I want it to be done on that date and out the door and have all my marketing ready. And plus, it gives me a lot of time between now and then to actually get the marketing engine rolling, because that's going to take a little while.
Right. Now, that's cool. So you're going with more of an agile methodology. Yeah, Agile like sets a date and then does sprints every week or every 2 weeks and then essentially cuts features if they want to hit the date. So sounds like that's the way you're going. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good call, man.
Yep.
Well, cool. So on my end, I have several things. First one is, I don't know if you've heard of Hacker Monthly. I think I brought it up before. Yeah, it's basically a magazine that comes out once a month that gathers kind of the most popular stuff that was on Hacker News from the month. And there's an editor who does like a really nice design and actually puts together a PDF of it that is $3, and or you can subscribe to it for a year, or you can order the print version for like $10 a piece. But anyways, I got my first story published in their special edition. There's a startup marketing edition, and I'll drop a link to it in the show notes. But I thought it was pretty cool. I actually got the PDF. It's a free, this one's free, so you don't pay for the PDF at all. But it looks like there's some really good articles in there. And then the other thing I wanted to throw out is I heard a really good episode of the Lifestyle Business Podcast. Episode 51 is called 5 Signs You Might Be a Loser. And it's really good. Yeah, when I heard it, I was like, wait, what does that mean? But Dan and Ian are the guys on that podcast. I like them. You know, I've emailed with them before and stuff. But they just did a really solid job. Basically, what they address is when they say loser, they mean someone who kind of doesn't achieve their goals or doesn't launch their product and doesn't do all the stuff we're all talking about doing. And they just do a really good job of addressing a lot of psychological issues that people let stand in their way. So it's along the lines of some of the episodes that we've done. And I just think they did a top-notch job of it. So I highly recommend, you know, if people aren't listening to the Lifestyle Business Podcast, that they check it out. Frankly, micropreneurship that we talk about is more of a lifestyle business than anything. We just don't happen to use that word for it. Okay, so I have three other things, but I'll be quick on them. The first one is there's a really cool post called Productivity Hacks for Bootstrapping a Company in 2 Hours a Day. And it's a pretty short post, but it's got some nice tips, and it's by a guy named Brian Marble. We'll put a link to it in the show notes, but he's a fan of the podcast, and he emailed me, and I definitely think this is something folks who listen to us would like to see. And then the other thing is there's an iPhone app. After we did our iPhone app episode, someone mentioned they create an iPhone app called Marker, and it's MARK R. And essentially what it does is it lets you put bookmarks in your audio files, like your podcasts, as you're listening to them. So you just hit a button and it bookmarks it, and then you can later come back and look through all your bookmarks like when you get home. And I actually, this wasn't the iPhone app episode that he mentioned it. It was when you and I talked about doing it when we were running, or I said I was running, and he basically said, like, you could do this instead of trying to carry a notebook or something.
Right.
So I tried this the app out, and it's cool. It was a little, I was a little confused by it at first. You either have to be listening to a podcast on your iPhone, iPod, and then you like switch into Marker, and it figures out what you were listening to and where it was, and then you can like hit the button, or you just listen to it through Marker the whole time. And then you just hit the button at any time. So I wish, obviously, I wish it you could somehow add a button, you know, just a bookmark button into your iPod software. But certainly Apple isn't going to let him do that. So,
right. Yeah, I actually downloaded it as well. And I haven't had a chance to try it yet. So I was interested to see or hear what you thought about it.
Yeah, it was cool. Again, it worked. It did what it needed to do. But it was a little tough because it would be out of my process. You know, my process is to listen to it on the iPod software. And so I would actually have to look at it, flip over, and then bookmark it.
Yeah, you're kind of doing a little bit of context switching no matter what, though. I mean, whether you're listening and then you have to pause it and then make your notes or what have you. But it's nice if you want to come back to it later, I guess.
Right.
I did realize one other thing. Lately, I've been kind of not necessarily intentionally avoiding Twitter, but I haven't really been paying too much attention to it lately. And I checked it a couple of days ago and realized that there were all these people who had listened to the podcast from before. And when I first started mentioning about some of my database issues that I was going to be running up against, some people had commented and said, hey, what kind of sort of things are you looking at, and what sort of problems are you running into? And somebody else had commented that, you know, anything below 10 million rows is really not going to be a problem for the database. And just want to apologize to everybody for actually slacking off on my Twitter feed lately. So I'll be a little bit more diligent about keeping track of what's going on there and answering people.
Nice. And then I think the last thing for me is I have been trying to set up an affiliate program for the Micropreneur Academy, and I've gone through, looked at a bunch of different software, and finally, I mean, I spent hours researching it, and then I finally decided on iDev Affiliate, and then I spent a couple hours working with them figuring out if it would actually work, because we have a kind of a long process before we sign someone up for the Academy, and it turns out I need to write custom code, which is fine, but I really wanted to make sure everything would work before I did. So there was a big time investment there, and then I buy it and I download it and I install it and it doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because they have anti-piracy stuff built into it, and it's some, man, I don't even remember what it's called, but it's a PHP loader component that you need with this anti-piracy stuff, and it just doesn't work on like a lot of the big web hosts. So it doesn't work on Yahoo, and it doesn't work on Dreamhost, and I think it doesn't work on GoDaddy. And you can basically like do the equivalent of a jailbreak of my hosting account, and I could hack my php.ini and do an unsupported mod basically. And I think that's the worst idea ever. So I'm not going to do it, but it was so disappointing, and I'm really frustrated. Anti-piracy stuff, it's so rare that it actually is worth it. All it's doing is making me mad at this point. And I think we're probably going to go with another option. I'm either going to open another hosting account, just a cheap $3-$4 hosting account, or we're going to have iDev Affiliate host it. They'll do it for $5 a month, and that might be the best way. But such a bummer, man. Anti-piracy stuff pisses me off.
Yeah, when you're talking about the options for anti-piracy, it's people seem to think that they're going to lose a lot more than they probably will.
Yeah, I think our stance, I mean, we've talked about it before, but our stance has always been not to do it.
I wasn't always of that persuasion, I'll say. There was a time that I felt that, oh, I've got to make sure that I lock it down and make sure that we're not losing sales and this and that. And I realized after a while that it was, you know, not only a lot more trouble than it's worth, but, you know, you're actually hurting your legitimate customers.
Yeah, that's the problem I see with it.
So today we're going to learn how to market through affiliate marketing. And basically what that means is that one of the issues that a lot of people run into is that, you know, they decide to build a product, or they want to start getting into running their own business and selling their own products. But the problem is they don't necessarily have a product yet. And because learning how to do marketing takes a fair amount of time to kind of get used to and comfortable with, there's a lot of time that is lost in developing your product and building something before you even get to the point where you're trying to market it. And that's a problem, because you're not marketing something, and you're basically just not learning anything. So you're building this product that may or may not sell well because you aren't learning how to effectively market it. So with affiliate marketing, what affiliate marketing does is it allows you to jump right into marketing a product without having gone through the time, effort, and expense of building that product.
Yeah. And, you know, I think affiliate marketing has a bad name, but only because there are people who do it poorly or do it, you know, using spam and scammy stuff. You can absolutely do affiliate marketing well. You can do it ethically, and you can do it in a way that provides a lot of value to people looking for a solution, especially if you're in, if it's a crowded marketplace, if it's like web hosts or telecom providers or, you know, certain types of business software, because frankly, those kinds of things are really hard to understand for someone just coming into the market. And if you get an intimate knowledge and you write up helpful reviews that are authentic and that really point out the pluses and minuses, and then you happen to, you know, put affiliate links in there, I mean, that's like you're providing real value to someone there. And that's just one example of many different ways that you could do it. I think the thing is, you know, marketing is really hard to learn by reading. You can get some ideas of some concepts, but it's so much easier to learn once you do it. And the more experience you get, the easier it becomes. The problem is that building your own product comes with a ton of market risk, that there might not be a market. We've talked about this before. And it also takes hundreds of hours that you may not be able to invest.
That's one of the reasons why marketing somebody else's product as an affiliate can be such a good solution to that problem. I mean, it's obviously not for everybody, but it really removes a lot of the big roadblocks that Rob mentioned before, such as, you know, the market risk and the lack of time to build a product. And if you know anything about marketing or building products, you know, you'll know that the lack of marketing or bad marketing can kill an idea or a product no matter what. I mean, you can have the best product in the world, but without some solid marketing behind it, you're going to fail. I mean, if you've ever looked at a lot of the enterprise software out there, there are some god-awful products out there, and people pay a lot of money for them. And the reason they pay a lot of money for them is because they have great marketing engines behind them. And don't get me wrong, they spend a lot of money on those marketing engines, but the fact is that those marketing engines work, and that's what sells products.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I think I want to throw out a couple of examples of products that I've done affiliate marketing for. And it's not things that I've specifically gone out and built websites for per se, but it's things that as I've maybe built an audience on my blog and I recommend something where I genuinely use it and recommend it, but it happens to have an affiliate program. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I've done here. So I'll throw it out, like Mosey, which is an online backup service. I have used it for a couple years, and I recommend it on my blog. And yes, I have an affiliate link, and I make a little bit of money from there. I also recommend web hosting based on what I've used and what I've had experience with. I recommend LegalZoom, which is, you know, a cool online service that helps you get a lot of your business legal stuff done. Tons of books on Amazon, MailChimp, which, you know, you and I both use and like, and those types of things. So these are other examples, not just specific products that you'll maybe find on ClickBank or eBooks or, you know, stuff that people might have in mind, but actual big name services that we all know about that really just offer an affiliate commission. And that if you build up an audience, basically you can recommend to people the things you use, you can tell them why, and you're actually, again, providing a service to people because you're helping eliminate some confusion and you're helping save them time by recommending products that are actually working for you and that therefore, you know, will probably work for them.
So one of the things you're probably asking yourself at this point is, you know, why should I bother listening to the rest of this podcast? Because affiliate marketing isn't really for me, or it's not my thing. The real question you should really ask yourself is, why is it that you do not want to do this? Because through the process of doing some affiliate marketing, you're going to learn about marketing. And one of the things that you're doing now by listening just to this podcast in general is probably you're learning a little bit here and there about marketing. And that's what doing affiliate marketing can do for you, can help teach you about how to do marketing and what sort of things are effective, what sort of things are not effective. So when you go about marketing your own products, you'll know what is effective and what's not effective and stop wasting time on the things that don't work. And you'll have a better overall view of how the marketing world works. And you really have to think about, why is it that you don't want to do this? What's the real reason that you don't want to do this? And it really has to come back to your goals and what it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah, I think there's a stigma against affiliate marketing for a couple reasons. One that I mentioned before of, you know, some people who do it in a scammy way. And I think that's a bogus excuse. I mean, I think if that's why you don't want to do affiliate marketing, I think you need to, you know, kind of get rid of that attitude right away, because you can do it ethically, like I said. The other thing is, a lot of developers will say, no, I have this great idea, or I want to find a great idea, and it's really important to me to have this idea and own it and to build it myself. And I would really question that instinct. I would ask you, where did that come from? Has that been beaten into you by all the magazines you've read or by the interviews you've read? and you feel like in order to be successful that you have to build your own product. I don't know. I question that. Even if to be successful, you need to build your own product, I question if it's the first thing that you should do, because I think your chances of failure are a lot higher if you don't know the marketing side of it. And that's something that, affiliate marketing can teach you. When developers come to me and they say, I need to learn online marketing, how can I do it? The last thing I tell them to do is build a product, right? That's no way to do it. I typically suggest doing something like this, like either starting a blog and building an audience, or just, you know, figuring out another product that someone has already built so you don't have to go through the time of doing it, and figuring out a way to market it better than they do, because there are a lot of products out there with bad marketing and you can improve on it pretty quickly. So with that in mind, there are obviously some limitations of affiliate marketing. I mean, there's some drawbacks to it. And I think the first one is that your choice of products is a bit limited. So if you have a completely unique idea that's just burning inside you, then yeah, you know, affiliate marketing isn't for you. Personally, like I said, I think this reason is it's a bit of a cop-out. It's a bit over-exaggerated. I think there are some people who have to, you know, work on their idea and have to get it out. But I think for most of us, there are plenty of good products out there that you can become an affiliate for in almost every niche that you can think of. Even like comic book collecting, wine collection, tracking and inventory. I mean, you start getting into some smaller niches and there's still stuff out there that you can be an affiliate for.
Another limitation is that you really aren't creating anything. And there's people out there who really want to build something new. And affiliate marketing really kind of flies in the face of that, because what you're doing is you are building kind of a marketing engine, but you're not really building a product of any kind. You're not really responding to customer requests or customer demands about what a particular product can do for them. One of the problems people might identify with affiliate marketing is that you don't actually own the product. So you're kind of at the whim of whoever is offering the product as an affiliate to you. But chances are that if you're doing well, they're not going to cut you off at the knees. I mean, they're going to do whatever it takes to help you out. But again, I mean, you don't actually own the product. So you're doing a lot of the legwork up front and you don't necessarily own the product. So if you want to take things in a different direction, you don't necessarily have the product management responsibilities to do so. I mean, you can kind of guide it through your marketing efforts and help try and position it to be doing something. And hopefully that will encourage the developer or developers behind it to go in that direction. But you can't force them to do that, whereas you could if it was your product. So that is one of the other limitations you do have to be aware of. But as long as you're okay with the fact that what you're doing is you're trying to learn how to market a product, and that's what your real goal is here, then doing affiliate marketing is definitely a step in the right direction.
And realistically, there is some competition in most markets that you'll be in. So as an example, I have done some affiliate marketing, or, you know, as I said, linked to Mosey before. And if they started doing stuff that was weird or that I didn't like, there's like a zillion others in that market. And same thing with, obviously, web hosting and with MailChimp. You know, all these companies have competitors. And so you can always find basically a better provider if there's something wrong. I shouldn't say always, but you can almost always find a better provider.
So there's three basic steps to doing affiliate marketing. The first step is that you need to find a product. And one of the ways that you can do this is you can go out to some affiliate websites such as ClickBank. And ClickBank.com is a place where you can go and you can sign up and you can look for products that will actually have affiliate programs already attached to them. And you can simply look through those. There's tens of thousands of products out there that you can choose from to try and promote. And you pick one or two or 10 or 15 or 20 that you like, and you decide to, you know, you sign up for the programs and you start marketing those.
Yeah, and the other popular one is Commission Junction. It's CJ.com. As Mike said, I mean, Commission Junction and ClickBank are pretty similar. It's just a big repository of products that other people have built. There's some software in there. There are some physical products. And there are a lot of ebooks. And, you know, as a warning, a lot of the stuff, a lot of the ebooks, especially on ClickBank, are kind of junky. So you kind of got to read through the stuff and either ask for a review copy or purchase a copy before you basically commit to, you know, putting your name in to promote it. But what these give you, the benefit of these is they're really big repositories, and they give you kind of an idea of what you should expect from promoting an affiliate product. And typically, if it's a digital good, you'll get anywhere between about 25 and 70% commission. So it's pretty substantial compared to like Amazon's 4 or 5% commission. They're really big margins here. With physical goods, it's a lot less because, you know, the seller's margin is a lot less. So you'll often see between, I'd say between about 4% and 15%. And then the other advantage of using these services is, you know, you search through and you can just get an idea of a lot of different niches. And even if you don't specifically use a product from there, you can often go off and once you have a niche and just search for products, you know, on Google and then go down to their the bottom of every products page, you know, it has an affiliate link. So you can go that route.
So an alternative to obviously just finding a random product is if you're planning on building a certain product type, what you can do is you can go to ClickBank or Commission Junction and you can find another product that is already selling to those customers and start marketing it to them. And what that will do is it will help you to understand how to reach the target market that you are eventually going to be building your product in so that you can address their needs and can convince them to come to your site and market to them effectively. Most products have an affiliate program of subtype, and you just basically have to look through ClickBank and Commission Junction to find them.
Yeah, or you can go to the product's website itself and, you know, scroll down to the bottom and there's often an affiliate link. So, I mean, I think a good example of this would be something like, you know, Visual Website Optimizer and Optimizely. Like those are two split testing engines. And, you know, if you wanted to market to kind of startups and you had a service maybe that was an analytics service or that just had something to do with someone starting their company, you could start off by trying to figure out a way to market either of these products, you know, Optimizely or Visual Website Optimizer. Both have affiliate programs, as I said. And if you built kind of an audience around it and started providing people with value and then essentially sold this software to them, then when it comes to time for you to build your app, then you already have this audience that you've built and it makes it a heck of a lot easier. So that was step one. That was finding a product. Step two is to decide on your approach. And Mike and I are going to toss around two approaches. There are a bunch of them, but we're going to toss around two. And they depend on your interests and abilities, which one you want to pursue. So the first one is to just build an audience. It's to start a blog or start a podcast. This is best for kind of a multi-product strategy. It can ideally lead you to creating your own products later. But affiliate marketing is a great way to make a bit of money before you have the time to build your own product, as we've stated. But this approach is less standardized. You know, it's not the affiliate marketing approach a lot of people think of. But when you look at a lot of bloggers, especially like in the blogging niche, you know, like pro blogger and copy blogger and, you know, people kind of talking about online marketing, they actually build an audience and then will recommend resources that they use and do a pretty good job of it. And even if you look at most startup blogs, they often have links to stuff that they use, like web hosting, as I do, you know, with Mosey and LegalZoom and all that. And, you know, they can make a little bit of money off of it. So that's the approach, is to build an audience. And of course, building an audience is pretty hard. It depends on your interests and abilities. It takes a lot of work. But if it's something that excites you and you really want to do that, then there is, you know, it's absolutely a decent approach to affiliate marketing.
So the second approach we're going to talk about is driving traffic. And typically when you're talking about driving traffic, you're focusing on either SEO or PPC, which is pay-per-click. And it's best for single focused affiliate marketing strategies. So there's two main approaches that you can try here. The first one is a one-page sales letter approach. And the second one is using a traditional sales website. And it might be easy to look at these two different approaches and say, well, it's going to be a lot easier for me to build a one-page sales letter as opposed to a full-blown website that's going to have several different pages. And that's not necessarily true, because there are a lot of things that you put on a single page, and those same types of things are going to have to appear on this sales website just in multiple places. And what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to figure out where to put everything. And where you put things is going to make a huge difference in what your conversion rates are going to be. So depending on where you put a particular button on a one-page sales site, that may have an effect what color that button is. If you have a multi-page sales site, that's going to make a difference where you put some of the different content, how you word it. All of these factors really relate to one another, and it can be very difficult to figure out exactly how to put together the sales website in such a way that is going to drive traffic for you. In addition, you also have to pay attention to the SEO capabilities of the single page versus a traditional sales website. So those are the types of things that you're going to learn as part of going through this process. But which approach you decide on depends on the product type and the audience that you're trying to get into. There's been some very successful review websites that provide a lot of detailed review of several different affiliate programs or products in the same niche, but you have to be really careful because you have to be honest about what it is that you're trying to sell and not simply promote something that gives you the highest commission, because those things tend to be obvious. If you are trying to sell something and your sole goal is to make as much money as you possibly can, it's going to come through, and whether that's intentional or not, it doesn't matter. It's still going to come through that you're focusing on selling something with very little regard as to whether it's a decent product.
Yeah, and there are other approaches to affiliate marketing, obviously. We've just laid out two of them here, and we're actually running out of time. So I think that we have a resource to recommend at the end, and you know, if you're really interested in this, that might be your next step. So those are the first two steps. And the last step is to get started. As with anything, it's really easy to sit and do research and think about it. But to actually register a domain and to get started writing copy, those are the hard parts, right? And that's why I would almost encourage you to pick a pretty simple product, low priced, and to do a one-page sales letter, because it eliminates the option of procrastination. Because you should know how to do that. You know, you should know how to install WordPress. You can find the one-page sales letter themes. There are several of them for like $20. You buy one, you install it, and you write some copy. I mean, this is a couple hour process. So it really gets you kind of to the nuts and bolts where the rubber meets the road quickly, so that you have to then focus on the real work, which is doing the SEO or doing the pay-per-click. And there's going to be a huge learning curve there. But that's why you're doing this, is so that when you decide, if you decide to build your own product after this is over, or once you have this automated, then you really know how to do it. And so that's the third step, is to really get started and to not sit there and focus on doing research, because all of us, I think, tend to do research just as a procrastination tool. The last thing I want to throw out is a resource. It's kind of hard to recommend something in the affiliate marketing space because so much of it is junk. Like if you search online, it's basically a lot of people trying to promote like an expensive product to sell you. But the one book that I found, I probably read 6 books on affiliate marketing and they were terrible. And the one that I found that's decent is called, it has a terrible title. It's called How I Made My First Million on the Internet and How You Can Too. Sounds like the worst book ever. But this guy actually made $1 million on the internet as an affiliate. He taught himself and he has a very specific approach that he outlines in this book. Now, he also, of course, tries to upsell you later to, you know, his $300 info product. But this book there's a lot of stuff in here that I didn't know beforehand. And I think if you really want to go down this road, that you should read this. And then beyond that, there are a handful of blogs that I will link to in the show notes. And that should be it. If you're interested in getting started, I think following some further resources is probably your best approach.
And now it's time for a listener question. The listener question we have for today is from Brad Marsh. And he says, I recently built a side project website called litlift.com. It's a novel writing application that I created in order to allow me to make better use of my limited writing time. I released version 1 of the application as a free web service and have been able to get quite a few signups to the site. My question is, now that I have an idea for monetizing the site, what are the legal steps I need to take to turn the project into a product? I personally bought the domain name and signed up for the hosting service. Would I need to transfer that stuff to a newly formed company? And if so, how? Love the show and keep up the good work. Thanks, Brad. So typically we don't like to answer questions that are more legal in nature, but in this case, I believe we'll make something of an exception. And again, as always, this is not legal advice, but what I found when I was in this particular situation is basically all you do is when you actually create your company, whether it's an LLC or a subchapter S or subchapter C, however the legal entity comes about, essentially all you need to do is you need to transfer those assets. And it can be as simple as one sheet of paper that just says, I so-and-so transfer my rights and titles of this to the legal entity of X, whatever, you know, your company name is. And then you sign it, and then you sign it again as the company president, and pretty much that's basically the end of it. But really all you're doing is you are establishing ownership of that intellectual property. And in my mind, all that really is just putting it in a very specific place so that if you were to get sued, for example, you could say, no, I don't own it. The company does. And in most cases, that would be self-evident. But in some cases, if your company is newly formed and somebody files a lawsuit the day after the company is incorporated, that may not be the case. But you should check with a lawyer just on the details of the logistics of how to get that done. I think a simple phone call would probably do it. I mean, it would also be something that as you incorporate your company, you just ask your attorney, and he probably just answer it for free on the spot and just say, this is exactly how you do it. But that's the approach that I would do, is I would just, when you go out and you actually incorporate, just talk to your attorney and say, how do I go about doing this? Well, that wraps it up for today's episode. If you have a question or comment, you can call it into our voicemail number at 1-888-801-9690, or you can email it in MP3 or text format to questions@startupsfortherestofus.com. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider rating and reviewing iTunes by searching for Startups. You can subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or via RSS at startupsfortherestofus.com. A full transcript of this podcast is available at our website, startupsfortherestofus.com. Our theme music is an excerpt from We're Out of Control by Moot, used under Creative Commons. We'll see you next time.